If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Podcast Unlocked.
Well, I'm legitimately not only professionally thrilled, but super personally thrilled to be joined by the creators of South Park themselves, Matt Stone, Trey Parker. Guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
For taking the time.
Yes, thank you.
Let's start with, so we got a new game, South Park, The Fractured But Whole, which is the greatest title for any video game of all time.
We were really, we came up with the title, I'm like, well, shit, now we got to make the game, because that's a pretty sweet title.
So, tell me there's a good story behind that title.
No, you know what the story, I mean, the story is Trey came up with it, and he texted it to me, and it was like this text, and I was like, that's weird, that's not funny, and I actually didn't respond for like 10 minutes, it took me like 5 or 10 minutes, because I just sent a text, and I was like, oh, that's a good, I think that, and then I had to like, I think I said it out loud or something, and I was like, oh, yeah. So, no, that story is that, I forgot, because we had to come up with a name because of this.
Yeah.
Because of this announcement. I mean, we've been working on the game for most better part of a year.
Yeah.
And
since you finished the last one, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're well into, this is not something we're announcing and we're going to work on it tomorrow. We're well into it. We've been working on it for a while. And then we had to come up with a name because of the forces of nature says we have to, you know, launch a game at, you know, E3 and do it. So that's what.
But we did know, you know, a lot of the because we've actually been working on this game for almost a year now. Actually, a little more than a year. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the big questions that the last game made us ask of, like, you know, could a fart really do that? Taking into the new one of, like, you know, could you ever fart so bad that it bent time? And so that's really where a lot of this, you know, a lot of the things we were trying to explore in this episode. Because we're trying to make, we really want this to be the next episode of Stick of Truth, not just like, okay, forget all that. We're really tracking you as the new kid. And that kid and sort of getting now into his backstory and why was his ass able to do all of those things that he did in Stick of Truth, and is he able to actually fart to such a degree that he can bend time?
Well, you guys have kind of, you guys have found a bit of a liking for continuity lately, just even with the show too. After it seemed like for years, you know, we're just like, forget it.
Yeah, it's kind of liberating in a way because, you know, when we started doing shows that, we started doing 3- and 4-part shows, you know, and it was kind of nice to go into the writer's room and being like, okay, we have a starting point, instead of just like, okay, it's all up in the air again, you know what I mean? And so you still come up with, the, you know, just as much stuff, but sometimes it's really nice to have a few restraints.
So given the joke built into the title, what were some of the rejected titles from the whiteboard? There had to be
this
a list,
was,
right?
I thought of this. I knew it was it.
Yeah,
I was
like, this texted it to me, and I was like, yeah, that's rad. Like, Trey said, it did come out of like the trying to come up with the real theme of the game being you're the new kid. And then you're always trying to get accepted by the other kids. Like, that was the thing about Stick of Truth, is like, yeah, putting you, if you're the person playing, you're the player, in the unenviable position of trying to impress our boys, you know, and trying to be their friend, when of course they're going to beat you up and treat you like a piece of shit. So putting you back in that position, but then trying to do, I don't know, it came from trying to make fun of, like, I keep thinking of like Max Payne, yeah, and like big movies do this, and sort of big games think they need to do this too, which is there's the external problem, there's the big environmental right. problem, but then you have your own inner struggle, yeah, the thing that's like fueling you, and superhero movies do that, yeah, for sure. Like a superhero, every superhero has their ridiculously overwrought backstory so that you know why they do ridiculous things for the rest of their life. You know what I mean? Like,
My parents are dead,
and I saw this thing, it was like the most hardcore thing, so that's why I dress up like a bat and I go out every night and I risk my, you know, just because basically superheroes don't make any sense of why they do what they do, so you have to invest them with this hardcore backstory. And then we thought, well, this backstory has to do with your ass and did a break.
Literal backstory.
Your literal backstory and your emotional heft of your internal story comes from your ass.
If you could fart so big that it bent time, would that fracture your asshole?
Yeah.
That's really the big question we're asking.
And then we got to this title.
So you're sticking with the sort of Paper Mario style, light turn-based RPG.
To some degree, I mean, that's the thing is that we felt like at the end of Stick of Truth, like right at the end, we figured it out.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck, you know, and then we had this, you know, then we had, the game had to come out, you know, and we were like, no, we know what to do. And so it was really like, the whole reason we decided to do this was because we just felt like there's so many things we wanted in Stick of Truth that we would have needed to have started from the beginning when we didn't know anything. And we're like, boy, if we did it again, I think we really felt like we could do something. Really
it's
cool.
It's still the same thing where it looks like you're in an episode of South Park.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, like, I think that when you start up the game, it'll have that exact same aesthetic. It's just, it's like the Stick of Truth where you're in South Park. I think it's going to be much more version 2.0. The combat's going to be better. Everything's going to be better and bigger and more expansive in it. But it starts with that same language.
I mean, you guys are legit gamers. You've proven it over the years. So were you tempted by other genres? You said, all right, I'm going to make a video game again. Maybe I want to do a turn-based strategy game or a point-and-click adventure or something.
You know, we felt we wanted to take all the good things about Stick of Truth and make them better and get rid of all the things we didn't like about Stick of Truth,
yeah,
which there was a lot. And there was, you know, we kind of had this bittersweet feeling when it came out, and it seemed, you know, that people generally liked it. We were kind of like, yeah, but... Because we had this thing in our head of like, yeah, but we knew what it could have been, and that's why we're now driven to do it, to do the second one, not because... You know, not by any means we want to do the same thing. We want to do fucking Mad Max. That's all. You know, then you go see Mad Max. You're like, oh yeah, you're supposed to really care and try.
We want to build. I think we started like a language and a grammar,
yeah,
that we want to continue and build on, and to reinvent it. I mean, part of it is doing the game. I respect video games as an art form much more after having suffered through doing one, and you realize how hard it is to make all of that click. And I don't think either one of us or anybody wants to go back to the beginning and reimagine everything about
right.
it. It's taking what we did and build upon it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up on like the Monkey Islands of the world, the point and click. Where you got? I mean, South Park would seem like a natural fit for point and click, but sadly, nobody seems to buy those anymore.
Yeah.
Were you guys ever tempted to go that route where it's more of a dialogue-driven adventure game?
No, because I really, you know, I mean, I think it is somewhat dialogue-driven just because of the other characters, but I always say that my favorite thing in playing a game and being a gamer as a kid or even now is playing a character that's an empty slate. You know, I loved Link. I loved
yeah.
Link because he didn't talk. And I loved him because there weren't menu choices and it wasn't like, okay, you can say one of these three things.
Right.
I know they're all going to lead the same fucking thing. You know, but especially games that even now give you three options of things to say and you click on it and then you hear the thing say it and you're like, I don't sound like that. And, you know, and so that was one thing that we really thought was cool about the first game and that we fought for was having this character who didn't talk, because I think when the character you're playing doesn't talk, you fill those thoughts
sure.
in your head. You know, and that's a really cool thing. You're like, okay, I know what he's thinking. And as soon as he says something, it's like, well, that wasn't what I was thinking. You know, so taking that character and expanding on it even more and saying, can we now build that character and make him even a stronger character still without saying anything? You know, and that's the cool challenge for us.
So you guys have done interviews towards the end of Stick of Truth, where you, as like you alluded to a minute ago, Matt, where making games is way harder than you guys have made movies, plays, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. That you talk about how tough it was to make a game. I kind of got the sense as a fan that from I would read those things and think, oh man, I guess Stick of Truth is the only video game we're ever going
to
get.
That was the right. That was the exact right conclusion to make. We felt the same
That mostly comes from the fact that we're whiny babies, and we almost anything. You could probably have found us in an interview about 2 months before Book of Mormon coming out saying we'll never make a Broadway show again. And like I just said too, I'm pretty sure that after Matt and I made the pilot of South Park, we said, well, we're never doing that again. You know, but you get beaten down by something and you need that time to kind of recover and go, yeah, okay, that was pretty cool. And you know, and but also it just seemed like for a while it seemed like, oh, you know, how it's just so hard. And but then your brain starts going, yeah, but if you started it this way, and if you did it that, you know, and we're both,
yeah,
because that's what we, just as much as we love getting into comedy, Matt and I just love figuring shit out. And so you get, your brain starts just going, oh, yeah, but if you did this, and if you did that, and if you started the game by doing that, and then starts to go, and it's funny because I think we both came to the conclusion about the same time where even either one of us would have been like at first thinking, you want to do another video game? The other one would be like, fuck you. You know, but we were kind of like, we should do this again.
Broaching the subject was kind of tender.
Like, yeah, I think
had
we
this thought of maybe a sort of kind of maybe we should turn it on.
I mean, you guys have talked too. I think I read that for Stick of Truth, you guys wrote way more.
Yeah,
like, way more. So is a lot of that the foundations, like story-wise at all for this? Or is
no, a lot of that's ended up in the show.
Yeah, right? That's where we walked into a total like buzzsaw. I mean, we walked ourselves into a buzzsaw of like trying to, thinking we knew how to make a game before we knew how to make a game.
Yeah.
And we've totally done that before too with puppet movie, with animation, you know, and I don't think we came into it with the humility that we didn't, you know, we should have in the beginning. This time I think we have that, but we also kind of know more. And one of the things we haven't been doing over the last year is we didn't write 100 pages, and then we started with more technical discussions with the team, and so there's more, so the gameplay and the script and everything is talking to each other. So we're there more for level design meetings than we were at the beginning of Stick of Truth. And we have level designers and the technical people doing the game there for the narrative too, because they're all really, you know, like accomplished gamers, and there's narrative things too that they're like, well, that'd be fun, but as a fan, we need to hear that too. So both sides, I think, are talking to each other more at the beginning now,
right?
And which obviously is like fucking duh, but it took us till to the whole game to figure that out, you know.
Is the new game going to tie into the show at all again, the way that Stick of Truth sort of
I'm sure it will, but we also like just sort of the lore of this new kid, we're going to probably start talking about him in the show. Because we love the idea that, we just think it's a cool idea that there is this character in South Park that is you.
Right.
You know, and
who doesn't talk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a new kid, and that always means that's the blank slate of you.
Yeah.
And really, this game we're saying is kind of the next day after Stick of Truth.
Gotcha.
So it's a continuation. The kids are now dressing up as something different and going off on a new adventure. And it gives us a whole reason to reinvent everything. But that there's still this underlying kind of meta-narrative underneath that's the kids, this is the next day.
So you guys mentioned earlier in our chat here about, you know, picking up with the stuff that worked toward the end of the game. What do you see as kind of those things that worked about Stick of Truth versus the things you want to just throw out the window that you feel like didn't work?
Well, I honestly think at first we were fighting so hard against the sort of turn-based combat because, you know, it just felt so old school. We're like, can't we do this more Zelda-like, whatever. And it actually ended up really helping for the writing and for timing of jokes and things like that. So it was really taking that and saying, all right, what can we take that's good about that, which is a pace issue and things like that, but how can we make, you know, we really wanted the combat to be in this one to be a lot more game heavy and cool and interesting and new and you know, so I think that that's why we knew let's from day one all sit together in a room rather than it being, okay, us writing and then handing it off and saying, show us what you got. Let's all get together in a room. Because we also, by the end of Stick of Truth, just found all the people we really clicked with.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was like, okay, now let's just get all those people who we think are really smart, really cool, and just start all laughing together rather than trying to say, here's what we wrote, now go make it work, you know? And so I think that's the most important difference in this.
I would suspect from the title the answer here is yes, but do you anticipate running into trouble with the various ratings boards around the globe again?
You always do.
You know what's so funny? It's like when
do
that
you
happened,
want to?
That's what happened. No, we never want to. It's just always a pain in the ass. And just when we had those things with the ESRB, I was like, of course we had that happen.
Yeah.
Of course we.
The only thing we ever did where we didn't run into that at all was Book of Mormon. Because on
no
the Broadway
board.
Stage, there is no MPAA.
Yeah,
there is no, there's no... And we were actually kind of like, okay, we're going to do this. And like, okay. And like, wait, what? No, we shouldn't do that. You know? Like, no, that's fucked up, though. We shouldn't do that.
On the note of Book of Mormon, as someone who hasn't had a chance to see it yet for various reasons, is there any chance we'll see a feature film adaptation at any point along the way? I mean, you guys have made musicals on the big screen before.
It's something we want to do. We don't have any specific plans. But yeah, we'd love to do it at some point.
Sometimes, yeah. It's like that you want to like... You know, because it's just so crazy that it's still... That's the crazy thing about doing State is that, like, you know, it's going on in three different places in 3 hours.
Right.
And, like, now there's a bunch of people in it we've never even met before, you know, and things like that. And so just being able to kind of get a definitive version back together sounds like a good thing maybe someday, but
work
it's
with
definitely
Bobby.
Not.
Work with Bobby again.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
fun. I mean, everything about it sounds fun. We just haven't really talked about it that much yet.
How about making a game that isn't South Park? Is that something you guys ever want to do?
I don't know. Like, I think, I don't think sure, but I guess that this same humility that I'm trying to say that we learned on that last game, I think that, like, having a game where we have Cartman and we can just pull on the character Cartman, it's like,
yeah.
We know where we are. And I just, I don't know. Like, I think, I'm hoping more that we can just keep doing more South Park game stuff and make that a bigger part of South Park because it seems like the perfect vessel for it. That to go outside of that, we just have to, like, it'll be really hard.
Right.
No.
I mean, how are you guys feeling about doing the show? Do you think you'll keep going after the current deal is up? I mean, you've got some awesome longevity going.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. We always say, you know, every season about three shows in, we're like, okay, this should be the last season. And then the season gets over. It's the same as doing the game. And
right.
then, you know, we go away for a couple months. We're like, oh, that was pretty good. Let's do it again, you know, whatever. And so we're just whiny babies.
Whiny babies. I think that's what you want to take out of it. We're whiny babies.
Me, our job's hard.
Do you guys have personal, like, top five favorite South Park episodes ever, or do they just all run together for you?
Well, they don't all run, yeah. I have some ones that I don't like if I think about it. I mean,
at this point, it's really hard.
So
it's
many.
Really, like, now after 20 years, you know, it's basically just like, sometimes someone will put one on, and I'll just be like,
yeah.
Oh, what's going to happen now? Like, I've completely
totally
forgotten.
Totally
forgotten,
yeah. We kind of start when we get back in the office for a season. There's always this kind of, not... ritual where we kind of sit down and watch episodes from the last few seasons from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there like,
yeah.
Like, I have no idea what happens in this. I can't remember
like, oh,
this at
funny.
All. And it's like really funny. Of course, we think that's funny.
But it also sucks out of this. We've had so many times now, and they get more and more where we come up with a thing like, oh, we should do a show about this. We're like, yeah, oh, yeah, and then Stan does that, da, 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 and we'll go for hours, and we'll be like, and then someone will go, you know, we did this 4 years ago. We're like, oh, it used to be, you know, someone would come in and go, you know, Simpsons did this. I'm like, oh, shit.
No, you
and
did
I was
it.
Like, no, you did this.
You did it. You forgot.
Like, no, but this is Stan. No, you did the exact same thing. It's like, oh, that's why it's so funny.
What's it, so in season when the show's going on, what's a typical day like for you guys? I mean, that's, you know, I've seen 6 days to air, but, you know, what happens when you wake up and... What's the day look like for you guys?
Wake
when you're
up, you
the
go
show?
To work, you drink a bunch of coffee,
yeah.
and you sit in that fucking room for, you know, however long it takes to at least be able to write enough. And you don't know whether you're writing a scene in the middle, the beginning, the end. You don't even know where it all, you know, when it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're
right.
just trying to get an idea out there, kind of. And then it gets to be Monday and Tuesday, and it's just torture in hell.
I think one out of every, like, let's say we do 10 shows a season. I think there's one, maybe two, but there's usually one where we... have an idea, we said this should cut and fold like this, and it kind of does, and the days are like groovy, and it's like, and it's sweet, and the episode's good. We're like,
yeah.
that was sweet.
Yeah.
And it's like one time per season.
One time per season. It used
yeah.
to be like three.
And we don't know when that, and we don't know when that's going to happen, and the rest of them are just sort of like, yeah. Yeah, Trey's like reinventing the wheel every week, and then mine getting...
But what's so crazy is that the shows, almost always too, a lot of the times, the shows that on Thursday, you're like, oh, and then this, and then Friday, you know, and you get through it like that, you're like, that's gonna be easy. It gets out there and people are like, man.
Yeah, they're only like...
You know, but the shows where you're like Monday, Tuesday, it's like, this sucks. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah.
let's just save it. Let's just do what we can. We got to get something on the air. Just get on the air. And people are like, that was amazing, you know, because you're just not second and third guessing yourself.
People love reactive men.
Yeah, for sure. It's
have you guys thought about what the last episode of South Park would be? Like, is there an idea going between the two of you?
I think it's going to end with a fizzle for sure. I think it's just going to end with a
whimper.
Dud, and we're going to go, fuck this man, and walk away.
some sort of whimper.
Yeah.
Either drop the mic, get sued, get thrown off TL television, something. Like, I don't know. We're not.
We thought that for 18 years. We're like, all right, well, they're going to cancel us.
We're
for
waiting
sure.
for it.
We've been waiting to get canceled for 18 fucking years.
Yeah, we won't stop until we get canceled.
And now
we're renewing. They have to fucking cancel us. God damn it.
Just circling back to finish up with, you know, again, we know you guys really did grow up playing games like the rest of us. What were your sort of personal games of the year for last year? What did you guys enjoy playing?
I played, like on little game, I thought Monument Valley, like everybody else, I thought that was amazing. And I've been playing Grand Theft Auto, mostly to riff on it and like, look what the other big games are doing. So I've been playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I will say that's true. I actually probably spent more time playing the last Grand Theft Auto last year just because I just think, you know, if you want to look at an example of like, what is it? A great fucking game, like that's, you know, and it still is the only thing that I can really lose myself in.
Yeah.
The audacity and bigness of that game is just fucking mind.
I was just saying, lately I've just been playing the app version of Baldur's Gate 2. That was a great.
It's great.
Fucking
it's 200
game.
Hours.
I know.
On your iPad.
Amazing.
I don't need that. I don't need that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say FIFA, because I play FIFA all the time. But I kind of forget that. That's sort of like a background.
It's not even really a game.
It shows up once a year.
Yeah, I'm subscribed to the subscription service of FIFA that I'll buy all of them. And
I've really switched over to board games. I like play so many more board games now. I don't know why.
Is it just because you're making a video game and you just are too...
Probably. Same reason I don't go home and watch comedies. You know?
Right.
But,
Yeah.
See? Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they play the same games the rest of us play. Guys, thank you so much.
Cool,
that
thank
was
you.
An absolute treat.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.